Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 226. We'll call it the holiday edition, if you will. We have a lot of player news with the Red Sox. We got some updates on, I don't know how John feels about the Yankees. We'll talk a little bit about deferred money and what it is for the Dodgers. We'll got a little World Baseball Classic to talk about and some holiday traditions as well. John, what's happening? You good?
Man, it's been a while, Brian.
I know. Which jersey is this? What do you got on the, list?
This is the last time the Yankees were relevant, 2009.
Wow.
World Series. Can you believe that? It's like 16 years.
That sweatshirt's 16 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Shape.
Yeah. I mean, I wear it occasionally. I don't wear it a lot, but
what's your number now estimated for number of Yankee branded?
Oh god.
I mean, including hats.
Well, Christmas is coming up, so I'm sure there'll be some more stuff, but oh god, at least 60 probably. At least. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I don't wear. I mean, it's
because it's a collector item, or just
yeah, or it's gotten older and it just hangs in there, or you know, it's got like LeMahieu on the back, or Phil Hughes, or you know,
Phil Hughes.
Or you know, I spend a lot of time in Boston too, so I don't go traipsing around the city with a lot of Yankee gear on. But yeah, you know what? It's been a while, Brian. Like almost a month since we've recorded, and that's probably the longest we've ever went without recording.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about it. I mean, the irony is the Yankees basically didn't do anything.
Nothing. So yeah. Since the end of the season, like right around Thanksgiving is when we recorded, and Yankees haven't done squat, and all the fans actually are scratching their heads as to what's going on. The free agent market in general has been very slow. More trades than free agents, really.
Well, we haven't gotten one of those $500 million sort of blockbuster thing, but there's no one out there that really qualifies.
Alonso was
that.
The big fish so far, you know, and he got Baltimore finally spent some money, but you know, like we said, the trades and the biggest trade so far. I mean, other than it's been the Red Sox. They went and got Sonny Gray, and they went and just got Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple of schools of thought here. If they lose Bregman. It's not they haven't added enough value to necessarily offset that. If they have, you know, Wilson Contreras, and they have Bregman, they're a better baseball team. And you know, listen, I know that it's symbolically the trade with the Cardinals, and they gave up Hunter Dobbins, who can start in the majors. I mean, I don't know where he's going to end up, but he can start in the majors. But getting Wilson Contreras basically says goodbye to Tristan Casas. And, you know, I know he's a weird dude and he's had some maturity issues, but I remember when he, I don't know if it was the Olympics or some, like when he came out of college and did some international play, he can hit, and he was the best hitter on that Team USA team. And so, like, I'm not inclined to give up on him. So I feel like I might have been okay going in and giving him a shot. But this basically means he's done. But what do you do with him? Is he basically going to be who is the guy that I really liked at first base who ended up being a nobody? Oh, gosh, he's at the tip of my
Dalbec?
Yeah, Bobby Dalbec.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? Because he doesn't have value on the trade market.
Yeah, there's absolutely no value right now for Casas. So I would imagine if they are going to get rid of him, I mean, you could always stick him in AAA. He's
got
options.
You rake at AAA, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, at least if you're hitting in AAA, you could package him at the break, at the trading deadline, or you bring him up in case someone gets hurt and you still have him. It's not like they really need to trade him or get rid of him because, like you said, Brian, what are you going to get for him in return on a trade? Right. He would have to be put in a package with Yoshida or something. And again, what would you get in return for Yoshida? So, you know, the way I look at it, the Red Sox might have to eat it on both of those guys and just see how it plays out with spring training and see how the team just starts to unfold. But again, like you said, Brian, Bregman is the big key here. Yeah, you went out and got Wilson Contreras. You filled a need. He's a player that just started playing first base, who played it actually very well because, you know, he was a catcher. So right. Catchers are usually very good athletes in general with good hands. But He's on your roster for the next 2 years. He's not going anywhere. He's bats 250. He's going to hit you 25 home runs. He's a pull hitter, so he's good at Fenway off the monster. So you see what happens.
Well,
with
it's
him.
Consistent production out of first base, which
but it all comes down to right. I think it all comes down to getting Bregman back. You put Bregman back in that lineup with Roman Anthony coming back healthy, hopefully, and then you figure out a way to platoon in Marcelo Mayer, and Christian Campbell. I mean, they still got him toiling around. So the Red Sox are in good position. I would think if I was the Red Sox, I'd be more focused on trying to find a true number two starter and getting Alex Bregman back on the roster.
I mean, the hardcore Sox fan says just to get – if you lose Bregman, you're not better in the field. And if you just add Gray and don't add another – because he's at best, according to the people I talk to and listen to, he's at best a three. And he's definitely not a two on a championship team.
I would think that the Red Sox would hope Brian Baio would be a two. But, again, the jury's still out. He's young.
Yeah, I think he could be a legit too. And so I think that the hardcore Red Sox fan wants Bregman and one more rotation level starter,
yep.
And then we can dance. And especially since, you know, who is the class of the American League? I mean, it's
well, right now it's Toronto.
Right, but which means I think it's wide open.
Yeah.
You know, and whereas the National League, and this is a sort of a – well, actually, before we segue to the Dodgers, I mean, so you have the Red Sox who've been kind of telegraphing that the Alonso deal confirmed it, that they're going to try to do so by a trade, right? I mean, that's, you know, and they've been that way for most of the offseason, whereas the Yankees really have been incredibly quiet, maybe because there's no value out there in terms of blockbustery kind of things, but I don't know. How does that strike you as a fan?
Well, I think the big concern for Yankees and the Yankees fans, I would say, let's say Yankees fans, because all the fans want them to sign everybody, right? Go get Alex Bregman. Go get Pete Alonso. Go get this guy. I think the big concern would be to get Cody Bellinger back because he's a two-dimensional player as far as two-dimensional, two-position player. You know, you play outfield, play first base. So that fills a huge need for the Yankees, versatility. But he's also proven that he can play in New York. He's a good team guy. But he also has Scott Boras as an agent, so there's that.
Are a lot of other teams in the mix on a guy like that?
Well, I would think the Mets, as you know, their history of jacking Yankee players in the offseason so far, I would think going back possibly to the Cubs, and I would never even rule out the Dodgers being involved, to be honest with you.
Really?
Absolutely. But I think the Yankees need to get him back, regardless of getting screwed on the Trent Grisham qualifying offer, and now he's back on the roster. You're going to have to figure out a way for Jason Dominguez to play for him to develop. So he can't be a platoon player, DH, with Stanton, so the whole Stanton issue comes up. But that being said, let's focus on what the Yankees are out, what's out there and they can do. And I think they need to get Cody Bellinger back, and they need to figure out bullpen. They need another guy in the bullpen. They've lost Devin Williams. They've lost Luke Weaver. And basically all they have is David Bednarz. They have Tim Hill coming back. But they still need somebody else in the back end of that bullpen. And again, question marks at first base. Are you going to go with Ben Rice? And, you know, Goldschmidt's gone too. So who knows what's going to happen at first base?
I think that I look at Bellinger as like a Bregman thing. If you get him back, you're just getting back to where you were like a year ago. You're not necessarily better. I really think the Yankees are just kind of designed for the first half of the year to get
I think the Yankees are going to make a trade.
To get Garrett Cole back and have the best starting pitching in baseball, and hopefully that wins him a bunch of 3-2 games, and then wait for a crappy team with a good player to fall off and want to make a deal.
Yeah, it's a matter if they make the trade in the offseason or during the season. Now, if it's offseason, you're going to look at guys like probably Jazz Chisholm being involved. I want to see Stanton get traded. He's going to be in a package if that happens.
You're going to eat a lot of money.
Yeah, but you're going to need to get Cody Bellinger back. That's not going to happen through trade, obviously. So you're going to have to spend money. It's just a matter of, will he come back at a discount to the Yankees, or is he going to go and want to get the Scott Boras deal, which is going to be probably 6 years? He's going to want something comparable to Pete Alonso. Let's be honest.
Do you think he deserves it?
No, because he doesn't hit the home runs and he's older. I think he's about the same age as Alonso, but he's not the home run hitter, but he's the versatile player. So maybe he is about the same amount. If you're getting $22, $25 million as a reliever or as a middle-tier starter, you should be able to get $30 million, $35 million as a Cody Bellinger.
The question is how many years?
I think that's what it comes down to. Is it going to be 5 or 6? A lot of these teams are really scouring at these 5 and 6 year deals, and I think that's why the market's so cool right now for a Bregman and a Bellinger, who I think are like 31 years old or 30.
People have gotten more conservative with the longer-term deal post, you know, the Soto. I mean, I don't know. Just the numbers for those guys were so obscene. I thought Alonso, I would, if the Red Sox signed him for that same number as Baltimore did, I would have been super happy. I mean,
I'd be happy if the Yankees got him for what they did. Yeah, and absolutely.
So I would assume that he went to Baltimore because it was the top dollar that he was offered, and it's been stated for the most part around Boston that they offered fewer years and fewer dollars to Alonso.
And the same thing with the Mets too. And again, I think the Mets, you know, I think he soured on them because I don't blame him. I don't think he was treated right in the last two contracts with him. So I'm glad he left, to be honest with you.
I agree with that completely. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 226 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Quickly on the Dodgers, we know they've spent a ton of money, and we know that they have so much deferred money. I think their total obligations are now over $1 billion if you include deferred money.
Yeah, I think that's through like 2047. Now that sounds a lot like it's a long ways away, but it's not. It's not a long ways away because if you think about it and you look at the numbers, a lot of that contract money, the window is like, I believe it's like 2030 to like 2034, 2035 is when a lot of that is on the books.
Right.
Right. So when you think about that.
But Mark Walter, who owns the team, and you know he's now owns everything, he doesn't seem to care. Do you think that it's going to be a chickens come home to roost kind of thing? Or,
well, Brian, these players aren't going to play through these contracts. Right. You're going to need to recycle these players if you want to keep being the Dodgers. You're going to need to keep getting the Shoheis, the Teoscars, the Mookies, and that. So you think those guys are going to be any cheaper? Let's be honest. Shohei ain't coming around too often, but everybody that's going to be a superstar from here forward is going to be a $30 million player. So how are you going to pay for those players when you got literally $150, $160, $170 million committed in 1 year already, and then you have to carry a $350, $400 million payroll on top of that? Jeez. So next thing you know, you're guaranteed $500 million in compensation right off the bat, and that could only be till four players.
That's crazy.
Think about that.
So what do you think if that's...
For playing players,
no,
I mean.
I get it. But my one question is, if that's obvious to us, and especially to you, they must be aware of it too as well. What do you think they're thinking about how they're going to handle their
I don't think they care. I think they're monopoly men, and they don't care. They're used to getting what they want, and they'll just figure it out when it comes. Honestly, I think, you know, all along, you know, the brand is there. As long as the earth is still spinning and people still have money in their pockets, you're going to be able to get rid of that brand.
And, you know, so you think they'll sell the team before this starts to collapse?
I mean, all you need to do is have Shohei come back and hang out in the front office 3 or 4 times a year after he retires. They spent in competitive balance tax $169.3 million
just
last
in
year.
Taxes.
Just in taxes. Now, there was what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams that paid a tax, and the lowest tax that was paid out was the Texas Rangers at $190,000. That's peanuts compared to the Dodgers at $169. The Yankees were next at $91 million. I mean, the Mets were next at $91 million. The Yankees at $61 million. Philly at 56, Toronto at 13, San Diego at 6, and Boston only at 1.4, Brian, and then Houston right behind that. So those numbers are good for Boston and for Houston and for Texas. But when you start talking about as a Yankees fan and you're running a $319 million payroll and then on top of that paying out $61 million, you're over the $400 million guaranteed. So that bites.
Well, I mean, let's face it, that they paid in taxes what half the league paid in their payroll.
Yeah.
That is just insane. I mean, because the 15th biggest payroll last year was Seattle at 165. And then you go down from there and you take the White Sox. I mean, no, the Miami was under $70 million. And they paid 160 what for just taxes alone?
Yeah, and you can say that, you know, these owners are billionaires and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. You can say that the money is there, but yeah, the money might be there for year one and year two, but it's not there for year six, year seven, year eight, year nine. You can't keep sustaining that if you're one of these smaller market teams.
And be good on the field.
Right.
You can't. I think the point is that ultimately, and then we have what? We have a year plus until a new CBA, and maybe there's something with the CBA that'll change the dynamic. I don't know. But that to me is stunning that they paid in taxes more than the overall payroll of half of Major League Baseball.
And I think this is going to be a huge deal come time with the CBA, which is after this season. And again, this might be playing into what these players are going to be looking at contract wise. Are you going to want to sign a one-year deal and next thing you know, these contracts fall apart? Or you want to grab your money now going into possibly a lockout, possibly a strike, knowing that you have 5-6 years of financial stability? Yes, you're not going to get paid during that, but you know when the baseball does come back, you'll have that freedom. Yeah. That being said, you know, do you want to – can you keep doing this? No, you can't. And that's why the Yankees not having all these rich – investors like the Dodgers do are trying to keep their payroll down. That's why the Red Sox are selling off their entities to try to hopefully pay for players.
But the truth is, I think that as much, and this is the last thing I'll say on this, as much as the Dodgers and their excess will eventually be a problem, I think both the Red Sox and the Yankees are underspending.
Yes. 100%. So, especially if you want to compete. And the Dodgers have shown that, obviously.
Yeah. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'll admit it. I don't really – I'm not grabbed in the same way that you are by the World Baseball Classic. I still wonder, like, how to what degree the players care. But when you have these top-end players that are committed, you know, when Shohei says, I want to play for my country, and the pitchers for Team USA say, well, I want to pitch for my country – you kind of have to stop and say, wait a second, this isn't just a silly exhibition. This kind of matters to some of these guys.
Yeah, I think it's very important for a lot of these players because, you know, you have the money, you have the fame. A lot of them have the rings. But what they don't have is to be able to say that they're world champions.
Or Team USA.
Or Team USA champions. Now, a lot of these players did play for Team USA as they were growing up, and they might have won in the Pan Am Games, or they might have won in whatever. You know, they play around the world at U12, U15, U18. Right. But that being said, they have not played on this big stage like this against the best competition in the world. And it's turning into that when you have players like Paul Skeens, Aaron Judge, Tarek Skubal, that are committed to doing that. I mean, when you have the last two Cy Young Award winners in both leagues, and then you have the MVP in both leagues, I mean, come on. What else can you ask for?
No, I mean, my theory is that when the All-Star game mattered and it was National League and American League and there was no interleague play, I mean, it was still an exhibition, but I would argue that of all All-Star games in the history of America, when there was no interleague play, the Major League All-Star game was the best All-Star game.
Yep.
And I'm not saying this is a – but this sort of like the energy that went into that, if you go back to the late 70s or whatever, is kind of what this is, right? Because these guys – you're not going to see Aaron Judge, you know, playing on a team with Paul Skeens, you know, until he comes as a free agent to the A's. But, I mean, so I think that kind of appeal – brings a lot more interest to it because there's nothing else really like it.
Yeah, and in the history, you know, the World Baseball Classic has been around since, I believe, 2006 was the first time it was played, and Jeter was on the team, and there was a lot of great players on the team, but what they always have lacked is the pitching. The pitching has always been subpar.
Because teams don't want to potentially get a guy hurt who can win a World Series.
Exactly. I mean, you would always have, you know, the a a third guy starter would be your main starter, or you'd be packed full of relievers. But now when you have Aaron Judge, you know, wanting to be the captain, and that shoe drops, but then you have Paul Skeens, right, saying he's going to do it. And then Tarik Skubal. And then all these other guys line up. Now, the U.S. still is missing a first baseman, so you got to look around the league. And when you do, there's not a lot of named players out there that are U.S. players. There's Alonso, who's done it already. There's Matt Olson of the Braves, who is a very good player who could more than enough fill those shoes. But then you have a guy like Bryce Harper, who has not had a chance yet, who is, you know, America's baby, you know, 16 years old on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Right. So you would love, I think, you know, you would love to see a guy like that on the team. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think there's a total of like six more spots. There's nine more spots. I think there's six position players they need to fill as bench players, and then three more pitchers. So you'd like to see two more starters and a reliever. And I'd love to see Garrett Crochet, and I'd love to see maybe a Hunter Green.
Are these negotiations right now?
I think a lot of it is just, yeah, you know, him reaching out, DeRosa reaching out to players. Players maybe reaching out through their agents saying, hey, we want to do it. Players clearing it with their teams. I'm sure there's all sorts of issues that got to be worked out in contracts, which I'm guessing has already been in the player contracts. But again, I'm sure there's a lot of lobbying being done for players to try to get on this team. I mean, which had me scratching my head when I saw Clay Holmes on the team. I was just like, what is going on here? But prove me wrong, Clay Holmes. Prove me wrong.
Well, we'll see. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 226 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It is the holidays. I mean, it means different things to different people. You know, both John and I have children coming home from college, which makes things a little bit different. I have three. John has two. We're in the post-Santa Claus era. Give me one or two things that you love to do when everybody's home.
Yeah, it's great. Well, the one thing about Christmas in my house is now, not being a kid, is everything just shuts down. Now, you don't go out because there's not anything open, but we don't go anywhere. Never do. It's literally from morning to night.
Hanging.
The fire is in the fireplace. There's whatever's on TV, and then, you know, you open the gifts. What's funny is the progression of Christmas morning over the years, you know, where it was like the kids were up before the sun came up, and now it was like last in 2024, my wife and I are sitting there, like, it's like almost 8 o'clock, and we're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Are these kids ever going to get up? You know, it's awesome, Brian. Christmas is definitely my favorite, just because I'm not a person that likes to be around a bunch of people. You know, you know me.
Really?
I like to be around my family unit, and that's the time when I get to hang around my family unit. Now, growing up, it was great because I remember, you know, going to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve was probably the most fond memories of my life growing up, and my aunt and uncle would be there, and then, you know, we do Christmas Eve there, and you'd walk in, and the presents would already be under the tree, and you'd have to sit there and suffer through dinner. You'd have to suffer through them doing the dishes, you know, and then you have to sit there and wait and wait. And as a kid, that sucked, dude. You saw all those presents there. It was different on Christmas morning because you woke up at the Senegal house on Christmas morning and saw the presents. So a lot of fond memories growing up, but nowadays it's just the unplugging and not seeing or doing anything.
And just being together. I think that's really important. You know, obviously, you know, I grew up Jewish, but even my parents had an inkling of it. We'd put up stockings, and my wife and I were just like, I really don't think it's about religion or faith as much as about the spirit of the season. So I never wanted to not give my kids that. So we have a little Christmas tree, and we do both. And the thing that I love, when they were little, we would give basically everyone would get $25, and they had to run around Target or wherever, and they'd have half an hour to get a gift for everybody.
Yep.
And then we put it under the tree, and that was fun. And last night we tried to do something similar, except
everyone was on their phones the whole time.
Well, no. It's like, how much money do you want to spend? So we said, okay, here's $20. We do like a secret Santa. Everyone picks a name, and you got to buy a present for that person.
And you got Skittles and something else.
I don't know what I'm going to get.
Well, $20 doesn't get you much anymore.
No, it doesn't. But at Target, you can sort of piece a few things together. And it's just different. You know, I have three teenagers, and it's not – the joy is different. I think they like the tradition still. They like sitting down and watching Home Alone or Elf together. But, you know, technology and age does sort of change things. But I did like going, you know, we all got in the car. We all went to the store together. And yesterday afternoon, we all watched Home Alone, pretty much the whole group together for the whole movie. So there are some things that you can hang on to.
I think the hard thing now too is the surprise element. Like you touched on that just now. You don't know what you're getting, right? But like, you know, like literally, like you'll get a list. Like, and I went out and like literally bought with my son a new set of golf clubs with him, right. So he knows he's getting that.
Where'd you go, by the way?
Mike's in Hartford. Yeah, it was great. I mean, he had an awesome time. You know, good set of clubs, but it's different, right? When you're little, like you could surprise the hell out of him. Everything was a surprise. I want to ask you a question real quick. How was it for you growing up? As far as like, did you just celebrate Hanukkah growing up?
Pretty much.
So did you feel like it was better or different? Because I know, like, I looked at it and I was like, wow, they get to do this 8 times, but they don't really, because they're only getting one gift. And I looked at it more like that way. There was no religious aspect about it. Right, it was more like, what are you getting? You know.
Well, for me, I mean, if you want me to be honest, I didn't come from a big gift giving culture in my family. So like one night of Hanukkah, I might get socks. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like every night was like an Atari and this and that.
But on Christmas, there was nothing, right? It was just, another day?
Christmas, the only thing I remember, because my parents wouldn't do a tree, is that we did wake up Christmas morning, and I think a couple of times the stockings would be full of stuff like candy and so on and so forth. But no, they did not, we did not do anything else. And so, but we do more for our kids. Like I said, we put up a little, like last night we decorated the tree. Everyone puts up a couple of ornaments on the tree because they had stuff they made at school.
But when you're a kid, like, I'm not the, like, I don't want to traumatize you, Brian, but when you're a kid and you're in school, like, how do you like deal with that? Like all these other kids, I'm getting a bike, I'm getting all these presents and stuff. Yeah. And you're sitting there like, oh dude, I got a pair of socks.
Yeah. It sucked. It was not great, but I also was sort of like, my expectations weren't high because like we didn't have video. I didn't have Atari or Nintendo.
Well, yeah, it was different then. But
No, my friends did.
Okay.
Like my parents purposefully.
So you weren't expecting any of that anyways.
No. And so in some ways, like, you can react two ways. I've really fought hard against trying to do the same thing for I want my kids to be able to get things and, you know, and to enjoy that. I mean, we had moments with my kids that I didn't have, where they tore down on the morning and opened stuff and they believed in Santa and they put out cookies and carrots and all that stuff. I never did that as a kid. The change for me as an adult is like, my son's going on a trip to Mexico, and we're like, you're not getting any presents.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. It's hard, right? It's hard because there's nothing physically there, right. But you're
giving them a whole. Well, that's why spending $20 at Target and get 3 little things for one of my kids and a package, it works, because I don't care if it's a bag of Reese's or a facial scrub for my daughter.
Right.
Like, it's something. And to me, like, I don't know. I'm not anti-materialism by any stretch, but I do think that, like, to your point, I want them to have something, but at the same time, like, if I'm spending all this money to send them to all these places, like, they also need to understand that there's value in that, too.
The well doesn't have an end. It ends at some point.
No, and so, but it's a great question.
Well, I said to my son, I'm like, you better give me some of those golf clubs, because I'm going to have to wrap those up. And he gave me this look. I'm like, you ain't getting anything else, dude. Like,
right. You know? I just spent $700 on golf clubs. You think I'm going to put some more crap onto the tree?
Yeah.
But it's still, even still, like, I love the fact that you guys are just going to have a fire and hang on.
So now I got to figure out how to wrap some golf clubs. Good thing I held on to the tripod boxes when I ordered them.
You should make like a because someone was talking about hockey sticks. Like, you can't wrap a hockey stick.
No.
It's impossible.
It's like wrapping a bike. Gee, I wonder what this is.
Yeah. You should make like a scavenger hunt. You should hide them all over the property and then like have a riddle for him to find them or something
like that. It's tough though. I'm telling you, man. I miss those days when I could go out and buy Matchbox cars and all that stuff and like, you know, and
we do the holiday store for the Salvation Army on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, and we people bring in hundreds and hundreds of toys.
Yeah.
And like, kids' toys are amazing.
They're crazy.
Like, I love them.
Yeah.
And anything Nerf. Like, I mean, I would love a Nerf football, right? Nerf football that hasn't been chewed up by the dog or whatever.
So it was a 2014 we got our dog. That was my ultimate Christmas gift to the kids. We brought the puppy home.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I pulled that one off. So they still talk about that today. And so, she's still with us. It'll be our 12th Christmas coming up.
Yeah, you go on hikes.
Yeah.
He posts pictures of his two pups on his hikes on Facebook if you want to. Listen, have a great holiday, everybody. We appreciate you listening. We love doing what we do. And, of course, we flip the calendar, and it'll be pretty soon be pitchers and catchers. So,
yeah.
John Senecal, Brian Shackman, you've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.